Hi, welcome to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. I, of course, am Dr. Jane, and today I'm riding solo, and I'm going to talk to you about uterine immunology. This might be the first time you hear this term, but if you have been struggling to conceive for a while, like years, and you have not seen a positive pregnancy test, you have had recurrent pregnancy loss or multiple IVF cycles, this episode is for you, and it's likely that uterine immunology is a missing piece. So let me start off by saying what the uterine immunology is, if this is the first time that you're hearing it. So there is an immune balance that has to be achieved within the uterus. And I don't know if you know this, but the uterus has its own immunology. It's not its own immune system, but certain cytokines and signals and inflammatory signals that determine whether implantation is going to be supported or if it's going to be resisted. I'm not sure if you know this, but fertilization on its own is an immune process, and implantation is also an immune process. So your uterus has to do something extraordinary, which is accept an embryo that is 50% genetically foreign. So it is not your DNA, and the uterus has to accept it. So in order for it to do that, the immune system of the uterus and the immune system in general has to be adaptive and has to be flexible. So I'm not sure if you know this, but 75% of people who are struggling with autoimmune disease are going to be women. So women are genetically predisposed to having more autoimmune conditions. And we are definitely seeing an increase in autoimmune diseases because we are using diagnostics a lot sooner and we're actually testing. But there is also the component of our environment and how much it has changed over time. I think one of the reasons that we as women are more predisposed to developing autoimmune disease is because we carry babies and our body has to be able to accept foreign DNA. And so, unfortunately, our immune system can get confused when it's overwhelmed and super inflamed. And sometimes I see issues with the uterine immunology, but I'm not necessarily seeing an autoimmune condition. And that's why I want to talk about this, because it doesn't mean just because you have an autoimmune condition, you're going to have issues with the uterus and vice versa. This is where every woman is different. Every case is different. And this is why we do the testing and we take proper history and we look at all of the symptoms and connect the dots. Because again, I'm coming from this belief that pregnancy is a natural process. So if it's not happening, something is missing. And of course, there is the age factor. Yes, of course. And I mean, there's multiple factors. But if the pregnancy is not happening, something is missing. And, my job is to figure out what that is. So if you have a uterus that is, quote unquote, unhappy, some of the things that, we'll see around pregnancy is obviously the implantation failure and therefore the early miscarriage risk. But before you get to the pregnancy component, I actually tend to see higher levels of estrogen and then progesterone resistance, meaning you're not actually responding to progesterone in the same way that a woman who doesn't have uterine immunology issues, you're not responding in the same way to that progesterone. You'll probably have a lining that's thick and then keeps growing back, polyps, even fibroids that just keep coming back, and persistent inflammation in general. And so whether that's looking like brain fog or painful periods or really slow digestion and bloating or skin issues, I'm so cautious to say I don't have any symptoms. I'm just having a hard time getting pregnant. I'm infertile. I think those two things don't go in the same sentence, because it's not to say that there's plenty of unhealthy people that can get pregnant, but I look at your fertility as a reflection of your health and obviously the health of the pregnancy and the health of the baby. So when we have a bunch of inflammation and a bunch of other issues and we can get pregnant, I know that the strain on the body for the pregnancy and postpartum and the health of that future child is going to be compromised. But some of you, unfortunately, are blocked from even being able to get pregnant because it's such a big component for the body to be able to sustain the pregnancy. So like this uterine immunology. So if something's going on with the uterus, and I'll call it angry uterus, and we can see, I'll talk about the lab testing that we run to see if your uterus is angry or not, it's going to be very difficult to get pregnant. And there's a lot of other symptoms that we see, that are very obvious, I want to say, when you do more testing. But I do find that sometimes, my couples will have, or my women will have the ANA autoimmune screen, and that's negative. The general autoimmune screening, the ANA, the ENA, and even some of her inflammatory markers will look normal, and she's not going to have Hashimoto's or Graves. There isn't antibodies that we're seeing. But if we continue to look further at the uterus, we can say, yeah, that uterus is not happy. Let me try to understand what's actually going on. So I'm going to root this into a case that I'm working with, because it's very fresh and we're kind of in the middle of getting some testing back. And I am going to continue to share it as the case progresses. But she's 36. When we met, she had already done 4.5 IVF cycles. And during the last one, she essentially just decided to stop because she felt so terrible as she was going through it. And honestly, I was really relieved to hear her listen to her body, because again, you are the first place that the baby will grow. And if you are feeling terrible as you're going through IVF, and even if by chance that last embryo is successful, the implantation, now you have a woman who is quote unquote pregnant, but is starting with very high levels of inflammation. So her blood sugar is dysregulated because her cortisol is elevated. Her inflammation markers are through the roof. Her LDL is, elevated. Even if that embryo sticks, which is very unlikely because she's so inflamed in the last four cycles, or, the last three cycles didn't work. But even if it does, now I'm really concerned about the health of that pregnancy and the health of that child. And even if she happens to make it past that week 13 and she doesn't miscarry, now I'm looking for, she's in an inflamed state when she started pregnancy. And pregnancy is an inflamed state. It is a vulnerable state where the immune system is already, has to shut itself down, not completely, obviously, but the immune system changes so much. So I'm just concerned now about her health and the health of the pregnancy. And those are just risky situations to be in. So I was really happy and relieved to hear her go, oh, I just didn't want to do it. And she almost needed permission from me to say, it's okay if you don't want to keep going. Like, it's okay if you feel like this is a waste of a cycle and you feel really uncomfortable. Obviously, the choice is up to you. But I kind of gave her permission to make a decision as opposed to feeling pressure just because she already started the cycle. Her history included, she has had thick uterine lining for a long time, and she's had recurrent polyps that just would keep returning after surgery, after 6 months, 5 months, however long. One of her ultrasounds, she would just tell, you might have adenomyosis. So this is one of my pet peeves. Like, why are you going to give such a big diagnosis without explanation or proper follow through? So there's possible adenomyosis. And she was working with another functional practitioner before she met me, who did not specialize in fertility, but specialized in mold and Lyme. And she was just working with him because that's something that came up for her. She worked with him for 2 years, and there was very minimal improvements. Even though she, did everything, the diet, the lifestyle, the supplements, it was really intense, but minimal improvements. She said like 5 to 10% better is how she felt. To me, that's a major clue, and that's a major red flag that something else was missing. And we haven't, if you're just focusing on mold and Lyme and we're not zooming out and looking at it from a fertility standpoint, like what's the methylation doing? What is the uterine environment doing? Is mold and Lyme the root cause, or is there something else that's driving or keeping that mold and Lyme there? Because when you're clearing mold and Lyme, it shouldn't take more 2 years. Of course, there's stubborn mold and Lyme cases, but you always have to be assessing other components. So I think sometimes these functional practitioners, which I a lot of them are my colleagues and I highly respect, but they will focus only on this component and then they don't specialize in fertility. And so if you are working with a functional practitioner and your goal is fertility, but they don't specialize in fertility, I think it's just a mismatch. And I just say that because I didn't used to specialize in fertility. And even though I would help clients get pregnant when I was just in my general practice, they were my quote unquote easy cases. They weren't actually struggling with chronic fertility. They were like, hey, I'm going to start trying and it's only been a couple of months and what should I do? Those are much easier cases than the couples. If you've been struggling to conceive for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years, it's not going to be just let's clear this mold and lime and, you know, assume that that's the reason why you can't get pregnant. So there's just nuances that we want to be aware of. And I think that unless you're working with a practitioner who specializes in natural fertility, you're not going to be able to see those. So basically, the issue is that her uterus was not resetting properly. She was not shedding that lining and it was just accumulating. We did test, she did biopsies and we wanted to rule out cancer just because it's, you know, it's hyperplasia and we want to make sure that it doesn't develop into cancer eventually. And the truth is, if you don't deal with these things, it will develop into cancer eventually. When patients, you know, when I first started practicing, and I would get older patients who are worried about getting cancer, it's like, hey, cancer doesn't develop overnight. And the truth is, I'll have patients now who are in their 30s and will look at their family history and they'll be like, oh yeah, we have lots of cancers. We have cardiovascular disease. We have metabolic disease. But because you're so far away, like you're not 60, you're not thinking about dying, you're just thinking about having babies. That's still a real concern. Like cancer doesn't develop overnight. I remember one of my patients, I literally tested her Dutch test to see how she's breaking her estrogens down. And she was full of estrogen and she was pushing down the wrong pathways. And like a year later, she developed breast cancer. So back then, I was just started to practice. Like I didn't catch it. I was like, oh, this isn't good. Like you should try to clear this out. And we did, but I wasn't as aggressive as I would be now. And even just telling her that like, hey, these numbers are really alarming and you have family history of breast cancer. We can reverse this. So you can see the markers miles away. So when someone has this thick uterine lining that keeps coming back and high estrogen levels, and then you look at the Dutch and you're like, well, right now they're shuttling this way, but it's a little bit, you know, this way. That's going to develop into cancer eventually, you know, the body, unless we obviously halt it, which is, you know, what we're doing. So it's not just about fertility. It's really like, what is the quality of life that we want here? Obviously, the goal is like, we want to get you to that baby, but we need to make sure that uterus is happy. So we did lots of testing and we are actually waiting for more testing. And I just want to kind of give you my thought process. I do a lot of testing. If you guys have been following me for around, all of us as practitioners, we do a lot of testing. I, as you know, the lead of my practitioners probably do the most amount of testing because I get the most complex cases. And the reason that I do the most amount of testing is because the cases are so complex. And so I, as my mentor says, I love surprises, just not in my clinical practice. I do not want surprises. So I'm just going to test lots, and which means you are going to invest more upfront and then we're going to retest as we need to. But at the same time, we have so much clinical confidence to go, this is what's happening, this is why. And then this is how we create a shortcut, actually. It sounds short-term, you're spending a lot more money. Long-term, you're saving yourself a hell of a lot more money, time, and energy. So like I said, I love surprises, just not in my clinical practice. So we've had, and she's already had good testing, so I have obviously looked through everything, but we needed day 2 and 3 labs. We did 19 and 23 labs, and we could see that her lining was not resetting properly, that estrogen was too high, her sex hormone binding globulin was too high, her FSH was too high. So those ovaries and those, that uterus is not communicating properly, that progesterone wasn't sustaining and it wasn't at a very good level where we needed to be. And there was just this like lingering inflammation where it's like her LDLs are elevated, but her omega-3s are low. There's some kind of coagulation factors that came up. There's still too much inflammation in her body for the amount of work and effort that she was putting in, which tells me she's missing a big component. So we did some full deeper testing and methylation was probably the biggest missing piece for her. And her functional doctor told her, your methylation will fix itself once we get rid of the mold and the lime. And I just want to tell you that's not true. You will not be able to clear the mold in lime unless your methylation is working properly, because methylation is how you detox. It's how you make energy. It's how the body repairs itself. So when the methylation is glitchy, you're not going to be able to detox mold and lime. So that was like, as soon as she said that, I was like, okay, well, no wonder it took you 2 years and you felt 5% better. Like, that's why your methylation is a hot mess. So we looked at the stool, the methylation, the nutrients, the environmental toxins, and lots. She ended up coming up with lead and mercury, and there was just the gut was really sluggish. There was no beneficial bacteria or very little, and a lot of overgrowth, and it just was not moving well. Like, she had one bowel movement a day, but it wasn't enough. So, and she was really focused on kind of the carnivore diet, which I think in these cases, it's actually could be quite detrimental, and she needs to lean more towards the plant-based diet, obviously prioritizing protein, but she needs those fibers and the anti-inflammatory components, where the red meat, don't get me wrong, I have put people on carnivore diets, but it was not the right diet for her. So I think it was just causing a lot more inflammation. Where we are now, so we cleansed the heavy metals. She feels much better. We did end up doing the surgery for the polyp, because we did some uterine kind of cleansing herbs and it worked, but it wasn't enough. So it's like, hey, her body's not resetting. Let's do the surgery. But then we did the surgery and her uterine lining, the polyps are not back, but the uterine lining just poop, popped right back. So we're missing something. We're missing something. There's no way that the body should just be coming back. So we got her on the Enido device so I could see what her hormones are doing. Because, you know, you can only test blood work so many times and it gets exhausting. The estrogen is just up the whole time. And so it was just, well, there's no peak. It doesn't drop. Like, it just kind of hangs out. So, and obviously then the progesterone is not coming in. So we started to introduce progesterone to basically override the estrogen, and then doing some estrogen clearing. And then now we need to do some deeper testing to understand, why is the uterus not doing what it's supposed to be doing? So this uterus is angry. This is what I call an angry uterus. Even though her marker CA125, that's a common endometrial inflammation marker, is not that high. But there's other markers that are. So we are doing a full immune mapping. She has already done that, but that was way before she met me. So we essentially just need to see where the immune system is at now that we have done some work and supported the methylation and, you know, introduced the progesterone. This is where you're looking at, you know, CD4 and CD8 ratios, natural killer cells, the TH1, TH2 balance of the immune system. Not to over like burden you, but I just want you to think of the immune system like an army with divisions. And the certain divisions are overreactive. It just tells us that the body is reacting to something. So when we have mold in the body, the immune system will recruit these types of cells. When we have bacteria in the body, the immune system will recruit these types of cells. It's if a viral infection, it will do this. And so obviously it's not as black and white, but essentially that's when we're doing a lymphocyte map, we can look, or an immune map, we can look and see what cells, immune cells, is her body recruiting. And the more her body is recruiting, the more we know that the immune system is up against something. Because, you know, it doesn't actively, like, it's not random. Nothing in the body is random. The second thing that we are ruling out right now is the coagulation panel. So she had some coagulation markers done, but never a full panel. And so we're going to do that. Implantation depends on proper microcirculation. If the clotting factors are off, the implantation can fail even with a healthy embryo. So we need to rule that out. And I have a patient who is 25 years old and it's like, yep, you need to be on blood thinners, because you could just see that she's not going to be able to, she's going to overclot, and essentially miscarriages are a much higher risk then. The next thing that we're looking at is iron overload. So she's had some iron that was a little bit elevated, but not enough. The more that I dive into hemochromatosis, the more I'm like, hey, this needs to be ruled out. So we are looking at a genetic component, if she does have hemochromatosis or not. So hemochromatosis, if you guys are not familiar with it, is when the body, genetically, you're going to absorb more iron and hold on to it. And when we have high ferritin or high iron or that high iron saturation, it's essentially causes oxidative stress, which is damaging to the mitochondria, which, you know, fuels infection. We want to understand what's happening with her iron and how her body is using it and where her body is storing it, because iron on its own can be very, very damaging, and it's all about balance in the body. We don't want too little. We don't want too much. Then the last thing is we're doing a very deep infection panel, and we're looking at like the IgA, the IgE, the IgMs, patterns to see the chronic infections and what is actually driving this immune system. This is super expensive testing, to be honest, but I think when you have a chronic case like this, and you know, you'll spend $3,000 to $4,000 on just like the immune function panel, sometimes more, but usually it's around that. It's super valuable. Like, it's super valuable. It saves you so much time because you go, this is the thing that I'm dealing with. And then you don't have to retest everything. You just have to retest the thing that came up, you know, really high. And usually it's not everything that comes up. One of my patients, you know, did a panel and it was her COVID cytokine markers are still through the roof. So she hasn't cleared that infection. And that's why she's so inflamed. And that's why she developed autoimmune disease. And that's why, and like that stuff will hang around with you for years. And how many people do we see now who are just mysteriously sick and dropping dead? You know, a conversation for another day. But essentially, we are flipping all the cards. So when I get a complex case like this, and I very much, she's 36, I think she can have kids naturally. I think she can have multiple kids, but we need to figure out this immune component. And she's going to have to continue to evolve and transform herself as she goes through this process. What I mean by that is when we have a lot of infections, we kind of start to get lost because we don't know what our microbiome is. We don't know who we are, and our bugs are almost like this genetic imprint. When we have a lot of pathogens and toxins that are muddying the water, you start to say things like, I feel lost. I feel discouraged. I don't know who I am. You go into deep depression thinking that my only purpose and fulfillment is to become a mother, and I can't become a mother, so therefore I'm a failure. I think that's all the pathogens talking. That's not human cells talking. I have been saying this multiple times now. Maybe this is the first time you hear me say this, but I think that human cells are happy cells. They would never, if you just had a happy microbiome balance, you would never think terrible things about yourself. So when we have those things, when we have that low confidence or depression or confusion and being lost, I automatically think about the bugs and how much they're impacting you. And another patient that I'm thinking about, she's had some pretty big surgeries when she was a baby because she had her small intestine was blocked. So they essentially had to like cut her open and do surgery on her small intestine. And then they had to do that again when she was 8. And that scar has carried a lot of shame for her, but also a lot of disconnect. And because when I ask her, like, do you think you can get pregnant? She goes, on my own, she goes, no, I don't think so. But you think that you can carry the pregnancy, push out that baby, feed that baby. So where's the disconnect? Do you feel like you're not ovulating? Do you feel like that, you know, is it the fertilization issue? Is it traveling of the embryo and in the implantation? Like, where do you think is the issue for you? And the conclusion that we're coming to, it's like, I just feel disconnected from my lower body. And it's like, of course you feel disconnected. You were cut open. And there's so much trauma for the baby at that time that you didn't even think about. And then again, at, you know, 7 or 8 years old, we have to process that trauma. So then, and we have to process the reason why that was there in the first place, which is usually going to tie to some kind of immunological component, because pregnancy is an immunological process. So just to take you guys to stretch your minds a little bit, like, this is what I think about. Because I know that the body is super intelligent, and it never does anything without a reason. Sometimes we just assume it's only 5 years back, and in reality, we have to go really, really far back, sometimes into the womb or even understanding the mom's history. So the infections panel, this is what we're waiting for. So I'm going to keep you updated. But so far, we've seen the lymphocyte map, the immunological map, and you could see that her immune system is pissed. She's done the Emma and Alice analysis, which is, you know, you do the biopsy of the uterus. We've done the vaginal microbiome. Nothing came up in the vaginal microbiome, very, you know, very little. And then in the uterine microbiome, also nothing. And the good news is, like, there was no pathogens, but the bad news, there was also no good bugs. And so as a clinician, when I'm looking at a test like that and I see the patient sitting in front of me, I know something is off with her immune system. And just because this test shows there is nothing bad in the M. Alice analysis, but it also shows me that there's nothing good. So is there a limitation to the test? Absolutely. Absolutely. If there's nothing good, there's usually something bad, and we just don't know what that is yet, and we're not testing it. And this is why going through blood work sometimes can really help, because we can see if the immune system is pissed. And for this particular patient, the immune system is pissed, but she's not having symptoms of autoimmune disease of any kind. She is storing her immune system dysregulation in her uterus. And the uterus is, you know, the heart of the reproductive system. For us as females, we will carry some of our deepest wounds in the uterus. And this is where that spiritual, energetic, mental, emotional work is going to come in. But we also need to understand on the physical level, what is the bug? Because if you're filled with mold or Lyme or EBV, like, we need to decrease that immunological stress on the body, so then you can heal and then you can start to find yourself. You can start to find your microbiome and who you are. And this is the really rewarding work that I love. You know, some of my patients with a lot of immunological issues, when we start to unwind it and they find themselves, they usually change careers or they move and they find different friends. Like, they stop caring about what other people think about them and fitting in, and they go, this is what I want to do, because it's their cells now. They go, I want to do this, versus comparing themselves to other people and going, oh, maybe I'll do this, or comparing them to their family or taking criticism, whatever. So that's the really rewarding part, because it's not just the physical and it's not just getting to the baby. It's like, who does this woman need to become in order to be able to, you know, to bring the baby into this world. So here's what I'll kind of wrap it up with. You cannot do this alone, because running, you know, thousands of dollars on labs and then interpreting them through ChatGPT is not the same as clinician care. The value is not in the test. The value is in pattern recognition, in prioritization. How do you know what to treat first and in what order? And what are you looking for to make sure that you're actually seeing progress? So her clinician, who said it's 2 years of mold and Lyme, and basically just put her on stricter and stricter and stricter diets, and she obviously just could not keep up with it, that was not the solution. It was the fact that his protocol was missing something and it was not helping her. And so he could see that it was not helping her based on the tracking of the data, but his take was, let's just go further and further and further into that protocol. So, like, make it more and more strict, as opposed to, what about methylation? You know, what about the gut microbiome? What about the male partner? What about the uterus? Like, what's going on? So, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, I have been the practitioner who missed pieces, and which is why I'm so diligent about certain things now, because I genuinely want to help people. And I have I invest a lot into every single couple that I work with, like, energetically and emotionally, because I genuinely want to help them, and they help me. If I didn't help them along the way in the way that they wanted me to, aka I was able to help them with all of their health pieces, but we were not able to make a baby together, not me and them, but that I wasn't part of that journey. They went somewhere else, or they weren't able to have a baby. I learned so much from those couples, and I always thank them and I'm filled with gratitude for them still trusting me with a process, because I am not here sitting claiming that I know everything. It's just, when something is missing, I'm driven by this. The body is wise, and pregnancy is a natural process. So if it's not happening, we're missing something. So let's get to the bottom of this. And the bottom could be a lot further for some people. So I did mention the male. It's super important to treat the male when there is uterine immunology components or autoimmune components for the female. Here's why. When you are intimate, you are exchanging the microbiome, the immune signals and the inflammatory burden. You're exchanging hormones, you're exchanging everything. And you don't just exchange that when you're intimate, like, AKA having sexual intercourse, but just like kissing, touch, cooking for one another, just like breathing in the same environment. You are sharing. We have very similar microbiomes. If you test the whole family, you could see it, that it's like, yep, this is the microbiome of the family, and this is the dominant microbiome that's setting the tone, and these are the certain pathogens that are ripping through. And it's usually going to be the mom or the dad. It's never going to be the kids. If you already have the kids are never the dominant microbiome. They're picking up from the parents. And when I used to treat, you know, everybody before I specialized in fertility, one of the mistakes I would make is, or why I realized that I can't go into pediatrics, was like, I can't treat the kid if I don't treat the whole family. Like, I just can't do it. It's not enough for the child to change their diet. The whole family has to change. And it's usually coming from the mom or the dad, because they're the ones that are cooking all of the food. Or, I mean, there's just the dominant microbiome, right? You're older, you're going to have those patterns that are ingrained for a lot longer than a five-year-old. So you share the microbiome. And so the uterine immune reactivity, we want to always look at the sperm and more specifically the seminal microbiome and any other like hidden infections, just general blood work. So for this patient, like he had really high ferritin levels. We did rule out hemochromatosis for him. Ferritin and iron, those are like, you're going to have a bunch of infections when you have high levels of ferritin and iron. And if you have a lot of stress and cortisol and blood sugar dysregulation, the female body is going to pick up on that, let alone any gut infections, you know? So gut infections, seminal microbiome, you want to look at those. And I've seen it where we cleared her and then there is a couple more that came up and I'm like, that's very likely coming from semen. I need to look at his semen and let's look at what's actually going on here. So unintentionally, you can keep that uterus inflamed if you don't treat the male partner. And this is why we always work with couples, because 50% of the equation is the male. And I've never seen a male that's really, really sick and the male is fine. And when the male says he is fine, it's usually because he's disconnected from her. That's what's happening. And, or disconnected from himself, where he has learned to ignore the symptoms that he has and goes, she has more of the problems. So I'm just going to focus on her. Nothing is wrong with me. I can't tell you how many times we'll run blood work and we'll test. And it's like, you're a mess, man. What's happening? Like, do you not have all of these symptoms? And he goes, I do. I just thought they were normal. It's like, right. So you think the rash that you get on your belly every second week is normal, and the fact that you only poop twice a day is normal, or that your eyes are red, or you get angry outbursts, or you're impulsive. Like, you just think that that's your personality. And it's like, no, that's your body being inflamed. And, you know, obviously the inflammation is driven by some kind of microbial imbalance or a pathogen or a toxin. So I always, always, always treat the partner. So here's what I want to leave you off with actually now. If your uterus is quote unquote angry, there is a reason behind it. The immune system activates in response to something. So I come from a belief that the body is intelligence and it responds to stressors, whether that's pathogens or toxins or metabolic strain or just chronic inflammation. I do not believe that the body is broken. And I say this because I came from a place where I felt like my body was broken for a long time. I had IBS, unexplained infertility. I had IBS, anxiety, and weight loss resistance in my early 20s. And all the doctors said, that's just getting older. That's just the way that you are. And this little voice inside of me said, I don't think that's true. So if you have this little voice that goes, there's got to be another way, I don't think that's true, I want you to listen to that voice, because I was that 20-year-old, you know, who was like, no, I don't believe this. And now I don't even think about IBS. I don't think about weight. I don't think about anxiety, because those are not things that impact me anymore. But they were a really big part of my life. And then obviously around, you know, the pregnancy and when I had my miscarriage, it was like, oh, just get three more, get two more in a row, and then we'll look into it. And I'm like, no, get out of here. That's terrible care. That's just terrible care. So when we reduce the burden, whether that's inflammation, metabolic stress, pathogens, toxin, the immune system can and does recalibrate. I have many patients who went from very high antibodies to basically no antibodies, thyroid antibodies, when we normalize the immune system, when we get rid of the pathogen. I don't think the conventional system won't even look at antibodies because your TSH is fine. It's a dysregulated immune response. I want those antibodies down to zero because I don't want the immune system to be reactive. And there's something causing that reaction if the antibodies are there. So we need to, the goal is, the last thing is like, the goal is not just pregnancy. We want to have a healthy pregnancy. We want to have it in a way where we feel confident, we can actually trust our body, and then we can be present for the birth, for the postpartum period, and not spiral into postpartum depression or anxiety. And all of that foundation, in order to have a healthy pregnancy, to have a healthy postpartum, you actually have to start thinking about that before you even conceive. And can your body handle this high level of stress? Because that's essentially what a pregnancy is. It's a lot of demand on the body. And, you know, the older that you are, the harder it is for the body because it's been around for longer, which means you just need to support it more, not that it's not possible. Okay. And like I said, the immune system is very adaptive. It's very responsive. When you're testing and you're looking for the right things, you can very much look and see at what's happening and then support it appropriately and then see that, follow the data. The data will show you. So if you have been trying for a long time, if you've had recurrent loss, if you've done IVF cycles without any answers, this may be the missing piece for you. And my hope is that you learn something new. If this information resonated for you, I hope that you dive in and do a little bit more research and see if this is the next piece for you. And if you want to explore working with either myself or my team, you can apply below and we'll review your case and, you know, touch base and see if we can help you. But I want to thank you for tuning in, for being here. And like I said, I hope that you get the value that you need to help you move forward in your fertility journey. So thanks again for being here, and I'll see you next week.